Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Two Peas in a Podcast,
a relationship show from two people who like each other
very, very much. How are you, Delbert? Wait, I'm going to move the mic stand. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
You got it.
Yes.
I record in another podcast in the same studio, Peapod Studios, with my friend Aaron, and he is a giant.
He's a tall boy.
He's 6'5".
Yeah.
Over the weekend, we were at a local art beer wine festival, and I was like, "Hey, you up there? Hey, tall lug, what do you see? Where can we go?"
There were like 6,000 people there, and we went in a group, and whenever I needed to find someone, I'd look for Aaron because he's tall.
Well, and 6,000 isn't a ton. However, for all small town of Jackson, this is a big deal. It was huge. They sold out. There were buses. There was a man playing the saxophone with a boombox playing tracks.
No. There was a guy. Every year there's bands, which is really nice. There was, from a distance.
This blew my mind.
No pun intended. From a distance, I heard the delightful harmonies of a flautist. Only my ears were questioning whether it was real because the melody was, gosh, which song was it?
He was getting funky.
It was an Eminem song or something.
It was like Lose Yourself.
Like the thong song.
I wanted it to be Usher. But what was the song that he was really playing? Because it was amazing. It was like Uptown Funk. And he was playing like all these pop tunes.
It was not a song. When you think of the flute, you think of Nutcracker. We brought him here in the studio.
And hello, I'm Marcel, the flutist. That's his name, Marcel. He's a local legend.
So he was really good.
Yeah.
We were all blown away.
I don't know if I can seriously say this to anyone who is doubting. I'd only used one token.
When you go to the art beer wine thing, they give you 10 tokens to get 10 drinks.
It was amazing. And I loved it. It's so great to see all these local, and it's not just local, like state brewers and like art people. There's always there's like different groups of people. There's like us, like the cool young people. I guess we're cool. And there's like the old wine ladies. And then there's like the young wine ladies. And then there's like grumpy husbands. And then there's babies, which I think kids have the worst because this is not a kids event at all.
None of the kids were complaining. Well, it was funny because our friends, we ran into some friends and they brought their baby. And of course, because it's a 21 and over thing, they put on bracelets. They made their baby, who's a year old, put on a bracelet that said under 21.
Underage. And it was on her ankle. It was very cute.
In case any servers were confused.
Oh, Stephanie. It was great. I'm very glad that we got to do that this weekend.
If anyone from the Art, Beer, and Wine is listening, we only have one critique. I only have one critique.
What's that?
Overall, I loved it. I'm going to go again. I'm going to go every year. It's my favorite event. But can we talk about the pours? Because you get 10 tokens, and you're supposed to get a 3-ounce pour. Mm-hmm. And most people were decent or, okay,
for
that's
wine,
fair.
That's a lot for wine.
But every once in a while, I'd see someone lift the glass up to eye level with one hand and then raise the bottle of wine with their other hand. And I was like, oh, no.
You're playing like science guy with that pour.
It's like,
So if you were in charge of a wine festival, how much pour would you give?
Well, they put a little line on the glass that's supposed to be your pour level, I thought. And so up to there, it's fair. Like, I'm not expecting to the top, but come on.
Some volunteers were a little loose with the juice, and I just made sure to go back to that one a couple times.
I know.
It was very good.
But you know what else we had?
We've had a lot.
So we watched The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. We have to update on the failed American show that should have not failed.
Well, we've been watching The Bachelor. More updates to come. Bachelorette. However, we just finished Paradise Hotel, episode 7.
Listen, when we first talked about Paradise Hotel on this show, I made mention that it was a terrible, bad show. But the longer it went on, the more good bad it got. And the problem is it got canceled. We talked about this like 4 episodes
in. It's just too ahead of its time.
And they just crunched a bunch of episodes together and then finished the season with 7 episodes.
I know.
But the end was so good.
The end was
oh my goodness.
The last 15 minutes are the best 15 minutes in reality TV. Top.
I've watched.
Oh, so much.
I watch a lot of reality television.
I know, me too.
And I watch pro wrestling, which I guess is reality television because it's very real. And
debatable.
The ending of this show was so wild. Okay. Do we spoil? Do we do spoilers?
No, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. If you have Hulu, you go on to Paradise Hotel. You can probably skip to the last 15 minutes. Episode 7, last 15 minutes.
This show is a phoenix prior to rising from the ashes. Because currently it's in the ash pile and probably not going back next season. The only thing that can bring it back, 6 seasons in a movie, like Community, is a groundswell of grassroots viewership on Hulu.
So if you want to know what made it so good, if you've watched reality TV shows like Paradise or what?
Love Island
or Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor Pad. At the end of the show, if the couple makes it together, there's $250,000 up for grab. Mm-hmm. And all of these shows usually do some 2-minute thing where there's an envelope and if you both say love on the envelope, you get $250,000. If one says love and the other says hate, one gets it and the other doesn't, or something.
Yeah. It's a mind game where you're supposed to build this trust in the couple. It's like their last proof of trust, you know?
But it's always just a few minutes, and it's not super suspenseful, and usually it ends well. This, I'm not saying how it ends, good or bad, but the way that they built it up, all other shows should follow.
Oh, it was have you ever seen anything close to it in reality?
We were biting our nails.
You were squeezing my arm and covering your eyes.
I could not believe it. So bad good.
It redeemed the whole season, actually. Because honestly, at the beginning, as it went going, I was like, man, you are gone too soon, Paradise Hotel. This is a bummer. But I kept watching it. And then by the end, oh, man, it was glorious. I felt good. We watched the ending like three extra times.
We kept rewinding it because there's just a moment where there's a facial expression that happens that should be a gif somewhere.
The host, Christina Cavallari.
Yeah.
What's she from?
She's a reality TV star from an MTV show that I'm forgetting.
Is it like The Hills or?
No, it's someone before that, Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now she's graduated from reality TV to hosting reality TV.
She's not the worst host I've ever seen, but if they got a new one, you wouldn't be sad.
The worst host I've ever seen.
Top Chef, season one.
Before Padma Lakshmi came along.
Moment of silence for Padma Lakshmi.
She didn't die.
No, but she's just like the best.
She is the best. The goddess of television. People say it's Oprah. Nay, nay.
That's good. They haven't seen
Padma Lakshmi. The food goddess of television. And the first season, I don't even remember their name. But we were like, who is this?
You know what? She's not even worth remembering, memorable. If I'm being honest.
Ryan Seacrest was good.
He was good.
Who's the bachelor guy? Chris Harrison.
Chris Harrison. Ooh, very dad. Good. Dad's up there.
Batch dad. He's very good.
Yeah.
Man, what a life. And then, what is it? Tom Bergeron.
Oh,
Dancing
I like
with
him.
The Stars. He did America's Funniest Videos for a while.
Yeah, he's been out there.
He did.
He's so good because he's forgettable.
He's very forgettable. But when you see him, you're like, I know that guy. But then you're like, where's I don't remember where I saw him.
That's what TV hosts should be for stuff like that.
You should only know who they are if they do something bad. Hmm. It's like it's one of those people where you got to keep your name out of the spotlight. It's like if you. You know,
I say that, but then we started off by saying the best of all time. You know who I loved? Richard Dawson from Family Feud.
For like 100 years ago.
Yes.
Is that the guy who would kiss everybody?
Yes. I had such a crush on him in middle school.
What? Why?
I just thought he was cute. I'm like, you are so charming, Richard Dawson.
Wasn't the Family Feud, like when we were in middle school, wasn't the Family Feud host like Louis Anderson or something?
Well.
Or the dude from Al Borland or whatever.
So I grew up in the middle of nowhere. All we had was TV. And PAX this is TV. When this is when the Game Show Network was just coming out, and I've always liked trivia and the random facts.
Cable. Come on. Middle of nowhere.
I didn't have cable my whole life.
Okay.
Anyway.
But you had the Game Show Network. We had this very weird cable package where we got no channels except for the Game Show Network.
I don't remember when we got a satellite. It was 8th grade or something.
Satellite.
Yeah.
You know, satellite. But yeah, Richard Dawkins, Louis Anderson.
Dawson.
Richard Dawkins wrote books. Cocoon. Louis Anderson. It's a spinning door.
Like 10 in there. The guy from Seinfeld, Steve Harvey now.
Oh yeah, the guy from Seinfeld. It's been a lot. Been a lot of people. A lot of alumni.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor's assistant.
Yeah, Al Borland.
I know.
Whatever his name is in real life. Probably anyway. Also Richard something. Anyway, again, this is Two Peas in a Podcast, and we're doing things a little differently. I know last week, Stephanie, you mentioned, speaking of the Tool Man, some retooling of the show.
Yes.
And we're going to unveil that little nugget of goodness next week, and I'm excited about it.
So we've been doing two different segments since the show's
Inception?
For a while. Inception. But beginning.
Isn't inception that right word? Conception?
Misconception? Misconception. The Octomom. Her new name is Misconception. Anyway. too soon?
Too soon. Not soon
enough. Not soon enough. Anyway, two peas in a podcast. So we're going to change some things on the show. We talked about that. But coming up in just a second, what we're going to talk about is the split. The research part of the show where we take a relationship-related article or articles or a topic torn from the headlines, compile it all, and break it down.
We're going to break it down, and I think it's going to be good. But before we get to that, let me tell you, you should still subscribe to our show and share. Because the good old Ellen Steph, it's like when Oreos gets a new packaging. Ugh. Same great flavor. Just a different look.
NASCAR Oreos or something.
We got NASCAR Oreos. We got pumpkin Oreos.
That would actually
Oreos.
Make sense if they look like little wheels.
I mean, they do. They're round.
You know what I mean, though? They could add Goodyear or something. Whatever.
I get it. I get it. Yes. The wheels of the cracker
world. Get yourself
world.
A bud and an Oreo.
Bud and an Oreo. And so, but yeah, make sure you subscribe and tell your friends because good things are coming and it's just going to get better and we're going to look great, feel great. Wolf of Wall Street style. It's going to be amazing. Twice the fun, half the cocaine. It'll be great.
Whoa.
So I said cocaine, so you know what that means.
The split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
Are we going to rename this segment? Because the split, peas, it was kind of like a little joke.
I think we could. If you guys have a name for what this segment could be, email us.
Tell us. Let us know.
Text us. Tell a friend. I have an idea too, but maybe someone else has a better idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, Stephanie.
If you have the best idea, you'll win, and then you can tell your friends.
It'll be called The Best Idea.
Ooh. Okay. So this week, I thought we could talk about everyone's favorite topic, grudges.
Ooh. I hate that topic. I've hated it for a long time.
Me too. When I think of topics, that's the one.
That's the one. Ugh.
So I was doing my scrolling through the internet, and this article came up twice, and it was from Click on Detroit, which is like a local thingy news place.
It's like Channel 7. It's their like cool, trendy news, whatever.
Yeah. Click on it.
Express now. Click on it.
But then when I searched for more information, it seemed like evergreen content or something like it just was getting circulated through other news something or other.
It gets passed around the AP, the news wire, right?
I think there might be on a network, but I didn't want to overthink it because that wasn't the important part.
Well, what's the important part, Stephanie?
Grudges.
Have you ever had a big grudge before?
Yes.
Mm.
You know the one.
I do?
Yes. I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if I can say it on air. It'd be the... Anyway.
Okay.
Someone would be listening.
Okay.
And I don't know if I feel ashamed. Anyway.
Is it about James? I know he listens.
No.
Okay.
And if you guys heard a loud exhale, Emily, the person living with us, just let out a loud exhale.
And there's also someone mowing outside again.
Oh, great. So the article is from there. And then Johns Hopkins Medicine or hopkinsmedicine.org. And then the New York Times had an article on letting go of grudges.
I feel like if you don't know where it's coming from, but John Hopkins is related, you're okay. I feel like it's a good place to have information come from.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel that way.
I've heard things.
Yeah.
So Johns Hopkins has a new study out. Although when I tried to find the study, I couldn't find it anywhere to read the full thing. So if someone out there finds it, send it to me.
Mm.
But Johns Hopkins has a new study out that found that people who hold grudges are living in a constant state of fight or flight.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, maybe I'm jumping the gun on this one. But if you're just sitting around being like, all the time, you're probably ready to either fight or run away.
Well, I think so. Like if you're seeing someone and you're just mad about it all the time, it's like... I think we all know someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
So grudges cause constant changes in your heart rate and then your immune system and also your blood pressure.
Immune system?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa.
This grudge is making me allergic to pollen more.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Your blood cells. So it went on to say that those who hold grudges are also more likely to experience PTSD and also depression.
What?
Well, and I don't know with the PTSD part or the depression part, what begets what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it you have a grudge and then now you have PTSD, or is it, well, you have a grudge because someone did this traumatic thing to you, so now you feel this way and then you're depressed about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So I don't know what goes where, but it's still interesting. And so the constant up and down of seeing someone you hold a grudge against and whatever is just harmful to your body.
Oh, I guess if you were in like a vicinity of a person, like a workplace or a family member where you were seeing them all the time, that couldn't be an emotional roller coaster, like the bad kind. You know?
Well, and I wonder how many it is to hold a grudge. Is it just that one person, or is it, if you're, like, are you constantly picking fights?
Well, I mean, we know people that have been like, I'm not talking to them anymore.
Ever
like,
again.
That's a grudge, right?
Yeah. I feel like there's also a difference between, we're not talking about having boundaries where someone's done something wrong. It's more like something little that you could whatever.
They didn't say hi to me. I'm not talking to them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the New York Times article mentioned a study where they found that when you carry anger into your old age, it's also associated with higher levels of chronic illness and inflammation.
Mm. So that reminds me of something from the Bible, which I know people love. I remember this verse from when I was a kid. It was this song. It was like, a joyful heart is good medicine. And it's like from like Ezekiel or Proverbs or something. I don't remember. Good medicine, a joyful heart. It's just like really happy, like how having a good heart is like good for you. And then it gets to this really, really sad part.
The music
changes like a minor key and it goes, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And it's this whole like, the kids who are singing, the broken spirit drives up the bones. And this reminds me of this.
That sounds accurate.
So, like, okay, my biblical, but so, side story. This is very weird, like, happy, happy song. Then, like, this really weird, scary, sad part about your bones getting dried up.
It's very visual.
It's very, and then it goes back, dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine. And it worked because I remember it today. And, here we go. Science has proven it. What do you know?
Well, I don't know if you have a Bible verse for this, but they are, or a song or a little ditty.
I probably do. So
I think you probably do. Okay. Let me test it. The New York Times article also mentioned another recent study that found that anger reduces your ability to see things from another person's perspective. Song, go.
Anger. It reduces being able to see things from another personal perspective. Yeah.
Proverbs
4, sung by Prince.
What?
That was, yeah. I do feel like there's elements of a good 80s song in that, what you just said.
Probably. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like we could be a chorus of 80s singers.
Mm-hmm.
So, a chorus of 80s. You know what I mean? There's all those songs from the 80s where it's like, wow, look at all those famous people getting together and singing
like
about it.
Like a Live Aid or
the
worst one is that damn Christmas one.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that.
I hate that song so much.
I remember sharing that stupid song, and then someone was so offended because it was one of their favorite songs.
Oh, they don't even know it's Christmas. It's like, come on.
So that brings us to, so grudges are bad. Like grudges against terrible.
Like I have a grudge against, I should probably let go of that or else I'll have dried up bones.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you how to do that.
Oh, okay. I need to let the Live Aid Christmas song.
Into your heart.
No, out of my heart so it stops drying up my bones.
There we go.
Okay.
So that's actually how you die. Your bones dry up. So according to a survey by the Fetzer Institute, 62% of what?
Professor Fetzer
Institute.
Probably the worst teacher. They just had to name something after him to get rid of him.
Not the first, won't be the last. 62% of U.S. adults say they need more. Wait, this is the 80s song. 62% of U.S. adults say they need more forgiveness in their lives.
I need more forgiveness in my life.
Bring it on. But then, okay, I don't know how to bring. Serious question.
Oh, this is the broken spirit dries up the bones portion of the song.
Yes. Okay. The New York Times author asked a good question, and his question was, what does holding on to your grudges get you?
Oh, it makes me feel good to be so angry.
I think it's a good question, though. Like, let's say you actually have a grudge against so-and-so.
I have, let me throw something out there.
Yes.
I don't know if the grudge feels better. I do think that sense of, like, I'm better than them can come from a grudge.
Yeah.
But I also think that maybe the opposite of letting go of a grudge is letting down your guard and letting someone else, like, have, like, being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, protecting and, like, grudge and that wall is like, you can't get me because you stinker.
So are you thinking it lets you hold on to not having to be vulnerable?
Yeah, because when you have grace and, you know, there's freedom in being gracious with someone, but then that also means you are letting them make a move in your life as well. And that's scary.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I like the article better because it said nothing, but this is good too.
The article just said, you just got a grudge, that's all.
Specifically, it had 8 tweets that were like, wow, now that I think about it, nothing. But I think your point is right. That's probably why people hold on to grudges.
Mm-hmm.
But studies have shown that some people, just some people, are naturally good at being more forgiving.
Hmm. Really?
I have a parenthetical that says, good for them.
Whoop-dee-doo.
I'm not saying I'm not one of them, but you guys can go anyway.
Yeah.
But Del, you are one of them.
Am I?
Yes.
Oh, well,
you're so forgiving.
Yeah.
At least one of us can.
I mean, life is a balance.
I'm not saying I hold grudges, but
I'm very upset that you're so good at forgiving.
So other studies have shown that having a good prayer life can also help you be more forgiving, which I think makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a quote from HopkinsMedicine.org, and it was so well said that it's one of those things that I can't summarize, so I just wanted to take the quote. Studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connection as you age.
Research points to the forgiveness health connection as you age.
I don't know how I get it.
Dun.
So basically,
it dries up the bones.
I don't want to say there's a magic bullet, but if there was the gun firing it, we might have to call forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Just, wait, this analogy is slowly breaking down. I'm like, just go around shooting people with a forgiveness bullet.
With your forgiveness gun.
Don't do that. Well, okay, whatever. You're forgiven. Yay! Okay.
But it's like one of those fun guns with a says pow or like a
yeah, kapow. Cartoon one. You're forgiven. With a
boxing glove.
Yay!
Coming out of it.
So the good news is psychology has given us a really good forgiveness model. So if you have some grudges you're holding against people, which given that 60-some% of Americans say they need more forgiveness, you probably got a grudge or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 20. And so to be helpful, we're going to talk about what research says is really helpful to get you over your grudges and therefore improve your depression, PTSD, heart issues, chronic illness.
Live forever.
They actually had that on here, too. You'll live longer if you're more forgiving.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
I thought it was just because of my morning calisthenics.
Is forgiveness part of those? Forgiveness jumps?
Apparently, they are. I do forgiveness jumps after my jumping jacks.
Forgive one and two.
Forgive one. And I forgive Stephanie. And I
okay. So there's 5 parts to this forgiveness model. Oh, and also next week, there is, I thought I wrote it down, but there's a Stanford group. There's like the Stanford Forgiveness Experiment or Stanford something where they have an entire something. I haven't read of it. We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay. I just realized something.
Yes.
With forgiveness. You know what helps make grudges go away? Stop having your grudge. It's like... Oh, duh. We're just calling that forgiveness, which is true because that is a skill.
Yeah, well,
that's literally what we're talking about.
Well, and not everyone has this skill. Some people naturally have it. Other people don't based on a lot of things. But if you want to start having it, here's a good model that they say you can do.
Okay.
So step 1 of 5. First, you need to think about the incident or incidents that hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy stole my bicycle.
Jimmy. It's a Huffy.
The Huffy. It had a gyro, so I could move the handlebars all the way around. It had sweet pegs.
Love those.
A lot of tricks on that Huffy.
Step 2, try to empathize with the person or people that hurt you.
Jimmy didn't have a bike.
Maybe
his got stolen.
Okay, we're going to go deep fast, but maybe Jimmy's mom and dad or mom or single parent or whatever just didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Jimmy felt like a little outcast. It was really sad.
He could have just asked. Jimmy, you could have asked. Give me a call, Jimmy. Let's talk.
But that's an important step for starting to see that other person as a human who maybe it wasn't a good action, but maybe they have a reason behind
it. That's very hard to do, to be like, oh, you're a human too.
It is.
Which is shouldn't be, but it is very hard.
Step 3 is you need to think of forgiveness and the fact that you can forgive that person, but think of your forgiveness as an altruistic gift that you just give to that person.
Be philanthropic with your forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, what I mentioned before, with like people feel like if I forgive, I don't get anything back, and it's very vulnerable. But that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
Wow. It's not a bad thing to do. Little tiny gift. That's all you're giving, this like little Jimmy stole my bike. I'm just going to forgive Jimmy, you know? Step 4, you need to commit to just actually forgiving the person.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so you mean like I have to just do that and then it's over?
Yeah. So sometimes you have to forgive people a lot for the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think a phrase that I often hear is, I forgive, but I never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well...
I mean, yes, there should be boundaries.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need to be like, I'm never going to forget. Because that's based... Then it goes from forgive... Like, oh, that's where you get into grudge territory.
Yes.
Fair boundaries if it's something where you feel like you might be in danger. But just like if it's... Forget, just let it go.
Well, and then really it's... Once you forgive someone, like holding on to the fact that I forgive this person for this thing, and I'm going to hold on to forgiving them and not letting a grudge build back up again.
Okay.
Because if it's a really big thing, you might feel like, well, you know what? Maybe I forgive you, but I'm actually going to hold on to this anger.
Proactive grudge busters.
Mm-hmm.
Grudge busters!
And then step five is off of four. So now instead of holding on to that grudge, you need to hold on to forgiveness and replace the grudge with forgiveness. Forgiveness.
That feels good just hearing it.
Can you imagine?
Okay, that's not a song that you made up. That's a real
It's from
song.
Hamilton.
Right. I made up all the songs I was singing.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Yeah. So hold on to forgiveness. Let go of grudges. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Start with one. Work your way up.
Work your way up.
Keep it happening.
So grudges.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna never tell me about this grudge? Is this an off? It's an off the air.
I don't really have a grudge anymore. It's more like someone that I felt who wronged me and what I did about it.
I have a. I don't know if I have a grudge, but is a grudge different than having a nemesis that doesn't know that they're your nemesis?
You're silly about it, though. And I don't think you're... I don't know. Are you upset about it?
I don't think so. But I think if you have a nemesis long enough, you end up being upset and you don't even know why. And there's no reason.
I don't know.
But I do think it's kind of an injustice.
The fact that you use, like, my nemesis, I don't take you seriously when you say it. Because if anyone says my nemesis...
Unless they are an evil, like a mastermind with an overly large head in a science lab, you probably can't.
They have a cat and they have a chair.
They have a cat, they have a chair, and henchmen. Unless they have henchmen and they say nemesis, you don't need to take them seriously.
That's true. Gosh, if I were to meet someone with henchmen and a nemesis.
Have you ever met a henchman before?
I've been outside of Buckingham Palace.
They're not henchmen. Those are guards.
Are they? What's the difference?
What's the difference between a guard and a henchman? I feel
like
a henchman.
Have you seen their outfits?
A henchman is like a really like a servant with a lot of anxiety and gumption.
I feel like a henchman has to look boxy.
Like a okay. Mm-hmm.
Like they're big.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do your bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like a guard.
A guard doesn't do your. A guard stands there and guards you. A henchman.
They would do your bidding.
It's like dirty bidding, like dirty deeds.
I guess henchmen are more proactive.
Yeah. Henchmen are
and
proactive.
Guards are more
guard.
Reactive.
Exactly.
Being a guard would be the worst.
Anyway, did you get a picture with the guard, like licking his face or whatever that those Americans do to those poor guys?
No. I wasn't that person. I'm sure it happens a lot.
Did you take a picture with them?
I probably took a picture of them.
Why are their hats so big?
I don't. Because they're British. I don't know. Why are they red? It's the dumbest outfit ever if you're going to be... Anyway.
Well, when you're...
You know what'll really make us stand out when they're shooting at us? Red.
Well, when you're standing in a line, you might as well, you know, look nice.
We might get letters from people that are like, actually, those were never used in... I wouldn't mind knowing the history, though.
I would. Don't at me. Stephanie, look what you've done. You put us into a Twitter battle over British military uniforms.
Love it.
Well, that's what you can expect with the new P podcast coming next week. So, debates about history uniforms. But in all sincerity, thank you so much for listening to Two Peas in a Podcast today. It's been a great, fun episode. I laughed a lot. It's our most musical episode ever. And don't forget to our stream will stay the same. All the subscription stuff is going to stay the same. So you don't have to resubscribe. We're going to be here next Tuesday, like usual, and we look really forward to what the future holds. So thank you for being on us on this big, wild journey we call life. Stephanie, do you have anything else to share with us today?
Oh, we hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other very, very, very much.